We're glad you're with us today. Thanks for coming. And thanks, Hazel, for coming to our class today.
Well, you're welcome. It's good to be here.
You know, usually Hazel is on our other programs and you see her on TV all the time. But we're very glad to have you join us here on Advance. And we have Joe. And Joe, you said you really enjoyed being on Advance sometimes.
It's been wonderful, and I'm glad to be with two superstars today.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know about the two, but Hazel is one. But Hazel, I want to find out later how you get by with all the jobs you have to do. And Joe's been studying a long time, so I'm going to find out how he gets to be more emotionally healthy. Won't that be fun?
That'll be interesting.
We'll share it with our audience.
Yes.
And you share it with your friends, too, because it's very important for us to let down sometimes. We work very hard, so how do we react? Don't you think that's important?
Right. I think it's really important to be able to find some downtime, especially if you're dealing with a lot of different activities. You have a busy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for most of us, it's easy to find some downtime. I shouldn't say most of us, but for me and for many of my friends, it's easy to find downtime. But for some people, they think they need to be at work 24 hours a day or accessible, as we'll find out.
Well, and some people just have trouble, you know, relaxing, it seems like, and you have to learn how to do it. So we're going to give you some ideas here. And this person who wrote this article, Susie Moore, she wrote this article, and it says how to detach from your work and finally enjoy your downtime. So I think a lot of us can enjoy the downtime even, you know, in the middle of the day. I can. Can you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes over lunch I can have a really good conversation, get some good food, good talk, and you come back to work feeling a lot better.
Right. But we have to find out what she has to say about it. So it says here that everybody now seems to be that you have to be on call 24 hours a day. I don't call you too often at night, Hazel, but sometimes.
Not too often.
No, but you know, sometimes you think of something. Sometimes I ask you out to eat, though.
That's true.
That's okay, isn't
That's
it?
That's true. Sure, I like yeah. that.
That kind of accessibility is nice.
That kind of downtime is okay. But you know, let's find out what they said here in this article on page 34, and let's read the first column.
Staying mentally and emotionally healthy. Learn various ways to relax and seek help when needed. How to detach from work and finally enjoy your downtime. These days, with the expectation of 24-hour accessibility, it's harder than ever to transition from a work mindset to a relaxation state of mind. But it's not impossible. Here's how to switch from work mode a bit more easily when you want to. 1. Establish a transition system. When I lived in Sydney, I used to walk home over the Sydney Harbour Bridge 3 to 4 nights a week. It took almost an hour, but by the time I slipped my keys into my front door, I was a different person. I listened to music. I crossed the water and saw the sparkling city lights. I had some uninterrupted time to think and to daydream. 2. Switch it off. Putting your phone away for a short period is a decision that's entirely up to you. No one is going to arrest you for not checking email for 45 minutes. As you commute home, could you tune in to a funny or educational podcast? Pick up a physical book and get lost in the pages? The physical act of disconnecting from work stuff is very powerful. It's just not one we choose enough.
Well, there's some pretty good ideas in here, and it talks about disconnecting. And when you're connected to electricity, then you're on the go. But when you disconnect, then you relax, right?
Right. And so often now with smartphones, we all are connected either to work or to each other or to family 24 hours a day. It's difficult to disconnect, I think.
Well, that's good and bad. For instance, if there's an emergency, you find out right away and something important. But there's so many things that are important that sometimes it's hard to get disconnected, right?
Absolutely.
And the word they use here is to detach, which is the opposite of attach. So I know some people that have trouble detaching from, say, their cell phone. And so, of course, if work comes across, they know right away. But maybe they should take a break.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people do expect, you know, that say that, well, I called you and you didn't answer. Well, do you know it was 2 o'clock in the morning here? I mean, they expect you to be accessible all the time.
Right, and it's hard because what's important to one person might not necessarily be important to another. What's worth a 2 o'clock in the morning call might not be worth it to me.
Right. So it's kind of hard, you know, to transition in a way sometimes to make the change. The word transportation means across, doesn't it? So to transition means to change from one place to another. So how can you make the change from work and what you're thinking about, that's your mindset, to relaxing? Say, well, now stop thinking about all those things. Is that hard for you, Hazel?
Not usually, but once in a while it is. So my mindset,
too much to do sometimes.
My mindset is at work, and usually if there's nothing I can do about my work when I go home, I just go home and I just don't worry about it. But sometimes if there's something that needs a little, you need to be creative or something, you might keep thinking, how can I do that? What's the best way?
That's true, yeah. Or
if you're under pressure, it's hard to get off your mind. So you need to change your mindset and just slow down and relax.
Well, now, Joe, you have been studying quite a while. You just got some kind of degree in Chinese even, didn't you?
Right, it was a master's in Chinese history.
A master's in Chinese history. I don't know how you could do that. Now, when you were studying Chinese that hard at the university, did you have any trouble relaxing when you were out of class?
Now, see, for me, I find myself to be more of a problem solver, and that often means I turn over a problem all day, even just before I go to sleep. So it's difficult for me, like, walking away from a situation to not be thinking about it.
Right, because you're going over it in your mind. So you want to switch your work mode, though, to a bit more easily. And I know that there's a lot of things that people, I've read about great people that have done, presidents, and what they've done to relax when they have a lot of problems. So we'll talk about those. But the first thing you have to do is to establish some kind of a method. It says to establish a transition system. A system is just a way of doing things, isn't it?
Right, and it's a little bit unusual to use the word system for,
I think so,
just changing your mindset.
Right.
Maybe a method or just the way that you change your mindset, forget about work and start thinking about how to relax.
Right. That's when true. I see system here, I think of a set of procedures. It feels a little mechanical.
Right. So maybe if you need a system, but there's just different ways that you could do to relax. Now, this person lived in Australia, and they would go by this Sydney Bridge. Have you ever been to Australia?
I haven't been there yet.
I haven't been either.
Oh, I love Sydney. It's so beautiful. And they have this big harbor, and they have this big, beautiful Sydney Bridge. And then you've seen that big concert hall that they have down there right at the end of the bridge. Beautiful.
It's a
and
very
you can
famous.
Imagine how nice that would be.
Yeah,
so we used to walk home over the bridge 3 or 4 nights a week. And it would take, it's a long bridge. I don't know why he didn't take the bus or something. It took him about an hour. But by the time he got into the front door, he was a different person. I guess he did it on purpose.
I think so.
That's a long bridge.
I think that was their system. That was their way, their method to relax and to forget about work.
That's an intentional choice.
I think so.
And so notice in the text, you know, the author says it took about an hour.
Right.
And so over that hour, maybe
they're
processing, thinking about things, trying to relax.
And you listen to music, I think I'd go home and eat something after that, wouldn't you, Hazel?
Well, it's also a good exercise. So some people go out and walk, and they don't have the bridge to cross, perhaps, but they still enjoy walking. It's good exercise, and it relaxes them.
Was it when he crossed the water, he saw the sparkling city lights, so he must have got off work late because the lights are on.
True.
You know. But he had some uninterrupted time. Nobody bothered him, was walking across that bridge. He could think and to daydream. So that was kind of his relaxing time. Be on that bridge. Nobody could contact him, right?
Right. You get off of work, turn off the phone, just start walking. And get that nice exercise, too.
Right. I just wonder what he did when it rained.
Carry an umbrella.
One of the nights he didn't walk.
See, the sparkling light. What do you do, you know, when you get off work and, you know, to kind of change your transition, Hazel?
Well, usually the first thing I do is I walk the dogs.
Mm, and that takes a lot of attention.
Yeah, and it's not, usually I can't decide not to walk them because they're so excited
to go out.
They need
to walk them, right.
And usually even if I'm tired, I feel a little bit better after I walk them, and that just kind of takes the thought about work away and just worried about the dogs and helping them relax a little bit too.
I had recently changed my commuting routine. I used to take the MRT a lot. I recently had switched to using the sort of rentable bikes, U-bikes.
Oh, be careful of the cars. I hate to see U-bikes when I'm driving because they get in the middle of all the cars.
Yeah, that will change your mindset right away, right?
Change your mindset. So dangerous.
Well, so I try to plan out routes that aren't quite, that don't have as heavy traffic.
Okay.
And I find it to be really relaxing, good exercise, and just a nice way to be quiet and go across and
go
home.
If you go on a bike path, it's good. But if you're on the busy traffic on a bike, it's not good.
And that's another way you can go along the river on a bike path. And especially at night if you're trying to relax, there's beautiful lights along the way, and it's really nice and peaceful.
Right.
Well, it's this idea of having some uninterrupted time where you can just go someplace where people can't talk to you or tell you something. Just uninterrupted time is good. Right. So there's a lot of things you can do, and you have to switch it off, you have to change, and that involves putting your phone away for a short time. So sometimes you don't have to put it away, you just decide whether you need to answer it or not, because there are times when it's good to have a phone for emergencies.
That's true, but I have no problem forgetting about my phone. In fact, often I go out and I think, oh, I didn't bring my phone with me.
No wonder I can't reach you.
I know. And sometimes I feel bad because I think, oh, I should have it just in case someone tries to contact me. But on the other hand, then I think, well, it's not my fault. If they're trying to get me, oh, well, that's not my responsibility.
But, you know, when you have your phone with you, it's also, you might want to call somebody or something. They're kind of handy.
And it might be, there might be an emergency or you might need to think of something. So I do try to remember it, but if I don't, it's not a big deal to me. Like, some people are constantly on their phone, and that's not me.
That is my personal life struggle.
Well, I like to have my phone with me, though, because sometimes things will change and you're supposed to meet somebody and they can't make it and you don't know it. So if they can send you a line message and you know. So sometimes I think it's handy. You just have to decide what to look at.
It is.
But I know there's people like Hazel, but you and I, Joe, we're not like that.
I'm kind of glued to my phone. I'm working on it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's okay if you just don't be a slave to it and just you can decide what the answer to sometimes, right?
I think something important here. The author says no one is going to arrest you for not checking email for 45 minutes.
That's nice to know.
I'm trying to learn this lesson. I don't have to check my messages all the time.
Right. They might not check your email, but check your line. I might call you. Okay.
I'll be sure to answer.
Well, you know, one thing I am up to date on. When I do remember my phone, I have this nice watch that I can see who's sending a message on Facebook or anything.
Oh,
so that's actually pretty handy.
Hey, no wonder she doesn't have her phone. She's got one of those.
Yeah, now we
know.
But
okay.
Then I can always stop and say, I don't need to answer this message right away. I'll just wait, and when I get home, I'll just think about it then.
So she's not completely free of that.
Not completely.
All right. But, you know, even like when people commute and go back and forth, depends on if you're on the MRT or if you're driving or what you're doing. But if you are someplace where you're not driving, you could tune into something like an educational podcast. I doubt if I'd do that. That's not that relaxing. But you could listen to some music or something like that. And you could even play little games. You know, you can play Knessa on your computer. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I can't play Canasta, so I don't think
I'll give you a listen afterwards. But, you know, something like that, it's different than what you usually do, so your mind switches. Any kind of little games like that are good.
Even pick up a book, a real book, a physical book.
Yeah. A real book?
Yeah, when was the last time you did that?
I'm nerdy. I have lots of real books.
Okay.
I have some real books, but, you know, sometimes you can't have the books with you, so I have books on my phone.
Exactly.
Because I have Xenio, and I have National Geographic, and all these magazines, and you can get Studio Classroom on your phone. I mean, you can do all that on your phone.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff on your phone. You can read books on your
phone.
And
that's a good way to relax, too.
It is. A good way to relax.
Oh, I think fiction especially. Just, that's someone else's life, not my life. I can enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah. So you can read books and you can do things. Just do something different. I think it's the change in what you're thinking about that makes the difference.
I think so,
too. It could be music, it could be singing, it could be exercise, something different than what you did all day at the office. Don't you think that's the point?
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so you have to disconnect from your work some way. And I know that I read that a long time ago that when President Reagan was the President of the United States and he would get busy with problems, he'd pick up a mystery book and read it. He liked to read mysteries.
I used to like to read mysteries too, but I haven't in a while.
I know. I used to do that too because that gets your mind off. You get involved in somebody else's problems.
Right.
I find it's interesting you mentioned President Reagan because a lot of times when they interview presidents, they ask them, how do they relax? Most of them do mention book reading. Book reading is a huge part of them being able to unwind and think about other things.
It takes you to another world, see? Good. Well, those are some things that we can do. Now, there's several things we have to look at here. Let's read the second column now.
Three, relish a ritual. My friend Selena takes a bubble bath almost every night. My friend Libby goes to a workout class four nights a week as soon as she leaves the office. These habits are not only healthy, they are also meditative. What can you look forward to every evening that allows you to disengage from work? 4. Shake it off. I can't think of a single time in my career when I was having fun, when something urgent happened at work, and I dropped the ball because I wasn't glued to my screen after hours. Most of the anxiety and stress we feel about being constantly connected to our jobs is self-imposed. Most days we can probably enter our evenings 100% guilt-free, but this must be a conscious choice.
I never thought about this idea of relishing a ritual. What does that mean, Hazel?
Well, I think it just means to enjoy maybe a certain habit, right? You get in the habit of doing something like I walk the dogs, and so try to enjoy that. Mm. Sometimes after work I might pick up a musical instrument and practice playing
it. Yeah, ukulele or something like
that. Yeah, ukulele or accordion or something, and that just kind of relaxes you and it's fun.
That's true.
So that's a nice little ritual.
Well, and some people do like to take a hot bath or there's a bubble bath or something, but then they relax when they're in the tub. And in fact, I sometimes in the winter, if it gets cold enough, it's kind of nice that you can read a book in the tub as well.
Sure. Or take a hot shower.
I don't have a tub in my apartment. I'm
missing out. You can relax in the tub and read a book in the tub.
But don't read a book in the shower.
I shouldn't try that with my shower.
You don't know what you're missing there. But anyway, there's different things that people do. And one person here goes to a workout class, and that's kind of relaxing, I guess, for some people.
I think going swimming is a good exercise.
That's very good.
Some people swim every day, and that's a good ritual to
enjoy. A long time ago, I used to live on the east coast of Taiwan, and I had a little swimming pool in my yard, and I could just go and jump in my own swimming pool. That was nice. I didn't have to go someplace to do it.
That is nice.
I think we should all have our own swimming pools.
Good idea.
I definitely agree with this.
That's a good idea. Yeah. But anyway, these things are habits. And they're healthy, but they also help us think. And what word did they say here for the helping us think?
For helping think, they mentioned the word meditative. Something that brings a little extra peace. Because when you say think, I don't necessarily think of peace. But when you say meditate, I think of something that's very relaxed.
Food for thought.
Something
you can just... taking your dogs for a walk could be meditative, too.
Yeah, I think about different things as we're walking along.
And the birds are singing. Sometimes I look at all the birds and what they're doing and see them in the trees and things. And that's kind of meditative, isn't it?
It is, sure.
All right. Nature's always kind of meditative, I think, going for walks. It's kind of hard to find in the city, but there's some around.
Right. And there's often parks and trails that you can enjoy.
That's right. Well, it says, what can you look forward to every evening that allows you to disengage from work? So you could ask this to your friends. What do you do to relax, whether you work or don't work, to change your mind to another situation? I think the change is what's good, isn't it?
Right. And here, talking about disengage, earlier we were just talking about disconnecting from our phone, but disengage to kind of separate from work and say, okay, work is done. I'm off the clock. Let me do something else.
So sometimes you just say to engage more with people means to connect with them, but then you have to disengage, right?
Right. So, I think a lot of people go home and get right back on the computers. Is that true?
Oh, that is very, very true. Oh, my bad habits are coming out
and
today.
And that may not be a good idea because a lot of us sit in front of a computer a lot. And then when you go home and you do it again, it's different style because you're chatting with your friends or social networking. But still, maybe
you
should get up and do something else.
Do you ever play a game on your computer when you first turn it on?
I do, but part of it, if I'm looking at a screen all day, I realize I need to go and do something
else. You need
something
to do something else, a little exercise.
Right, sometimes. I could even talk to my wife. Oh,
well, yes, you might like that too. Yeah. Good for both of you. You know. Yeah, or if you have kids, sure, they're going to talk to you, whether you want to talk to them or not.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of nice to do different things like that. And maybe not the same thing, but something that makes you feel like now I can have this change. But I don't think you have to wait until you get home from work. I think we can disengage certain times. Just take a few minutes to think of something else. That's why people had coffee breaks sometimes and things like that.
Well, you know, here you're talking about relishing a ritual. Coffee is part of that ritual. I know sometimes in the morning, especially when I was starting to work on my thesis, coffee in the morning was sort of my ritual. That smell and relaxing kind of thinking. That was sort of a ritual that I really relished and enjoyed every morning.
You still do that?
I still do, and so usually now I get it more in the afternoon. That's when I really need that extra
boost.
Well,
I'll share one in the morning.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, just the idea that you're doing something a little different. You don't have to do it a long time, but just relax a little bit. Be able to relax, to feng shalai. You have to put things down, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty important. And I don't know about shaking it off. How can you do that?
Mm-hmm. Shaking it off. Well, this person talks about maybe... Well, he says he can't think of any time, any single time in his whole career when he was having fun and something urgent happened at work and he dropped the ball because of that. And what he's trying to say is it's okay to have fun. You don't have to worry about an urgent call. That almost never happens. So just go out and enjoy life and have fun.
Right. I feel like some people stop having fun or don't allow themselves to enjoy life because they're worried about a what-if imaginary hypothetical situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true because they say, well, what if you, when you say you drop the ball, you know, when you're playing a game and you're supposed to catch the ball and you drop it, the whole team falls through, you know. So dropping the ball can be kind of serious, see?
Right.
But it doesn't really happen. Just because you're not there, the whole company's not going to go to pieces.
Right.
Although if Hazel's not there, it might. I'm not sure.
Hazel's pretty important.
She's pretty important.
Here.
To the skit team, Hazel.
Just but remind me not to answer my phone.
No, unless I call, right?
Yeah. Right. But no one likes to drop the ball. And drop the ball, it's like you've done something silly or you've made a small mistake, you forgot something, and you go, ah, whoops. No one likes to do that, but it is really important to disengage and try to disconnect.
But, you know, sometimes I think it's okay. It depends on your personality. If something happens and I hear about it, it's not going to bother me. Some people will upset their whole evening. But if, for instance, if something changes and I'm involved in it, I kind of like to know. I'll go there and wait for somebody and they don't show up and I called you and you didn't answer. So there's something you said for having it with you, Hazel. Take
right.
your phone with you.
And there's another side of that. I mean, if I'm at work or even on vacation and someone calls from work and asks about a project or something, I don't mind. That doesn't bother me as long as they don't
say. It's not your whole vacation?
As long as it's not a big interruption.
I'm planning to call you when you go on vacation. So. But it is true. You can't carry that with you. Just answer it and then forget it.
Right.
It's like tuning in and tuning out. I think it's not so much what you have with you. It's whether you can tune in and tune out. I think that's part of it. So we feel about this, you know, that it says it's anxiety and stress. We don't want to be... sometimes we put that on ourselves, and we call that self-imposed. We're worried that somebody might do or think something, right? Don't you think?
That's right. So you just don't do that to yourself. Just relax. And it's not... You don't need to be responsible for everything that happens, and especially if you're off duty.
You want to be guilt-free.
Right. Now, see, I'm someone who tends to worry, so I see this sentence, and I definitely go, yes, I have many things, a lot of stress that is self-imposed. You know,
we'll try not to call you too much in the
evening.
But I understand the point of it. But actually, we do try to be responsible, but if something comes up, just handle it and then go on. You don't have to stop what you're doing. I think rest can also be short as well as long. It's just to make the change. Don't you think so? It's switching back and forth.
Right.
Rest a little bit in between. So don't think the world's going to fall apart if you don't answer immediately.
Yeah, that reminds me, a nap is sometimes a good way to disengage.
Well, that's
a
bad if you
like
can wake
naps.
Up. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, so I think our time is up now for today. So don't take too much time off because you got to get back tomorrow for the lesson. But I won't call you tonight, Hazel.
Okay.
All right? What about you, Joe?
I'll take a little break, maybe get a nap, cup of coffee. I'll be back here.
Okay. See you then. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.